know what to eat, but find yourself not eating it. Perhaps you've been on diets and off again, and just wonder why you can't stick to them. The Eating For You podcast, hosted by me, Sally Ann Pisk, will show you what's been missing so you can enjoy a healthier way of eating that lasts.
Hi, Sally Ann here. It's good to be back again this week with Angela Mills, our resident fitness expert. And as promised, we're digging in to metabolism and metabolic rate and the relationship between our metabolic rate and body weight. So welcome, Angela.
Hello, Sally Ann, and hello, everyone else. Hope you're well today.
Let's get started by talking about metabolism and sort of explaining what it is so people have, you know, better understanding, because there's a lot of myths out there which we're hoping to bust through a bit today as well in terms of the role of our metabolic rate and whether we can actually boost it. So let's start with a definition for everyone.
Okay, how do we describe metabolic rate? Well, ultimately, it's a series of chemical reactions that that create and break down energy that we need for living. In I guess layman's terms, it's the rate at which we burn through calories in terms of our ability to actually calories that we consume, how our body uses them. And that's the thing where there's a lot of variation between people. Some people have faster metabolic rates and some people have slower metabolic rates. And to a large extent, that is inherited. Okay, well, I guess if we were to look at a more formal definition, it's essentially the chemical reactions that our body goes through in order to break down energy that we need for day-to-day living to actually, stay alive. But I guess more simply, it's essentially how our body burns calories, how it extends energy.
Yes, and I often say to people, you know, our metabolic rate is a little bit like an engine in a car. You know, if you've got a V8 engine, you're going to burn more fuel, and if you've got a four-cylinder, you're going to use less fuel.
That's a good analogy. I like that one as well. And one thing that many people don't realize that is that our genes have a lot to do with that. And what, you know, and much of this is actually predetermined for us in terms of how fast or how slow our metabolism is going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, because sometimes I hear, you know, from ladies that come into the Eating For You community, they sort of think, oh, well, I've stuffed my metabolic rate because, you know, I've dieted on and off for 10, 20, 30 years. But it's reassuring to know that, sure, it has an impact, but the biggest impact is what we've been born with. You know, I think from, you know, it's around 70 to 80% of our metabolic rate actually comes from what we've inherited. But it's still significant that we can change our metabolic rate through our lifestyle choices. And I know you're going to let us know more about the exercise side of boosting our metabolism.
Yes, I will. But even before we go into that, what I would like to do is just draw a distinction between what is known as our resting metabolic rate, or our basal metabolic rate, and the metabolic rate that is due to activities that we do. What we call our resting metabolic rate is essentially what our body does, what calories, what energy it burns when we're essentially doing nothing at all, like even in our, you know, sleeping in that sort of state. So just the energy needed to keep our body alive, you know, to keep our heart pumping, to keep blood circulating in our body, that is really where most of the energy that we consume in terms of calories goes to. And, you know, some people estimate it somewhere between 50 to 80%, depending on your body, of course. So that is a huge part of our burning of calories. The rest of it is then due to activities that we do on a day-to-day basis. So again, it's one of those interesting things where our activities are definitely an add-on in this respect, as opposed to the main source of what calorie burning goes into.
So Angela, can you explain how we can add on to this calorie burning effect of our metabolism?
Okay. Well, when we talk about the resting metabolic rate, we would say that that is just pretty, you know, working away in the background, you know, when we're doing very little. But the one important thing that we can do to actually increase this is building muscle, because if our body has a good solid, you know, store of muscle, then the body needs to feed that muscle, you know, even when we're not doing anything. So building muscle through strength training is probably one of the most important things that we can do in order to actually impact on that resting metabolic rate. The other thing we can do is really look at both our day-to-day activities and how active we are just on a day-to-day basis, and also what types of exercise and, you know, what amount of exercise that we do, you know, that we actually, you know, consciously put into our week.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding about building muscles. You know, even when I think about strength training, and even though I know it's not true, I have this vision of someone, you know, lifting dead weights. You know, I don't think that that's what even they're called at the gym, you know, like the muscle men and women, you know, that have these big weights they're lifting. But that's not really what we're talking about, is it?
No, it's not. What we are talking about here is actually just the amount of muscle that you would need to actually support your frame. And that'll be different for each person, depending on whether you're a 5 foot, you know, nothing person, or whether you're 6'5". You know, obviously you're going to need a different amount of muscle to maintain a different type of frame. And if a person wants to actually build a bulkier body, your bulkier muscles, because they like that, or because they need it, or because it's a result of their work, well, then that's a different thing again.
Yes.
As well. One thing that's really interesting to look at, which I found quite useful, is when you consider what a woman, let's say, who weighs, let's say, 60 kilos and she's 160 centimetres tall, you look at what the estimate is for someone who's, say, 30 with that sort of, you know, those sorts of measurements. Compare that to someone at 60, and the person at 60 is actually burning less calories, just in the terms of just the basic resting rate. And what the difference really is the fact that we tend to lose a lot of muscle as we age. So it's not necessarily that the person in their 30s has got, you know, is a bigger person in any other way, but the proportion of muscle on their body would be larger than what it would be to a, you know, similar person, you know, who looks very similar from the outside, but because they don't have that same amount of muscle, they actually don't burn as many calories in the resting state.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, you know, just listening to you. We often talk about metabolic rate declining as we age, but really it's probably more about losing muscle as we
age. Exactly. So it's our loss. We lose muscle, and that's the disadvantage of losing muscle. Obviously, it's a disadvantage not to be as strong as you would have been in, you know, in younger years. But the other thing too that impacts that loss of muscle is the fact that our body tends to slow down. Our metabolism, every other sort of function that the body does, tends to slow down a little bit as well, because we just don't have that extra muscle helping us to burn those calories. And that in itself then, you know, can potentially steer towards other, you know, health issues.
Yeah. And when it comes to getting a program to increase our muscle mass, it really would be recommended to get a personalized program, would you say?
Look, absolutely I would, for people, especially at the early stages of, you know, moving into a lifestyle that includes, you know, strength training on a regular basis, which, you know, I think is very, very important for us as we age. And the advantages of doing that is that you're less likely to set yourself up to fail, to get injured. You're going to be having someone look at how you're moving at the moment and actually, I guess, give you a measured, program that will actually work to your advantage and from which you can then build on. A challenge we have quite often, especially once we get to a certain age, is that we do start to pick up a bit of baggage in terms of niggles and, you know, sort of certain limitations, you know, whether it's, you know, a rotated cuff tear, which limits your shoulder movement a little bit, or the fact that we something else doesn't quite work as it does. And you do need to be aware that once you start, you know, lifting weights, or, you know, actually adding resistance, it doesn't have to be physically lifting weights, but actually having some resistance training, you do need to actually have good movement patterns as you're doing it. Otherwise, you do set yourself up to make certain injuries worse, or to actually create new injuries. And that's not to say that I want to scare people, not at all. But just that little bit of extra guidance in the beginning just really sets you on the right path, because then you can just keep improving and keep, you know, keep going with it.
Yeah, and also one thing that I've realised, and I certainly have been reminded of this from a recent hiking trip in Tasmania, is that we may be working some muscles more than others. And until we ask our body to do something a little bit different, or we're carrying extra weight, like I was for our multi-day hike, you sort of think, oh, well, you know, my quads are really strong, but, you know, maybe I still need to work on my upper body strength, you know. So, you know, that's what you don't pick up on. And as we've discussed before, we tend to like to do the things that we're comfortable doing and we do all the time, such as walking and, you know, carrying things around that might strengthen up my lower body. But then having to incorporate a new exercise can be a little bit of a challenge. And I think that's why it's important to get a program that is designed for us. So, as you were saying, that we don't overdo it and we don't injure ourselves in trying to improve our muscle mass.
Yes, it is funny what you say about the up and realizing it, limitations in upper body strength. I think most women would agree with you on that one, me included. We don't tend to be quite as strong in the upper body, you know, as we would like to be. And often it's because many of us have a male around that does the heavy lifting for us, so we don't really often need to actually work ourselves in that respect. But it is quite important to make sure that we're also, being a bit more, I guess, balanced, like you said, in our strength training. We do need upper body strength, and we need it because it's important for our posture to hold us upright, as well as the ability to lift things and to lift them with good form, so when we do have to, say, for instance, lift something, we're not going to jeopardize our lower back or shoulders or some other part of our body. And having that regular exercising of the whole body, you know, and with special attention to those areas where you do need a little bit more focus, is really the best way to actually get on track, so that we're minimizing our risk of injury and we can optimize our muscle building.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well, because time is you know, a very valuable resource, and I would hate anyone to, you know, go on an exercise mission and spend, you know, whether it be 20 minutes a day or an hour a day working out, thinking I'm improving my health, but they're not actually doing the best type of exercise. And I know in the previous episode, we talked to, you know, you in particular talked about, you know, exercising smartly, that we actually do the type of movement and exercise that our individual bodies need.
One of the advantages of really taking that smart approach is that you do save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of potential injury. For example, our muscles do need recovery. So if we do, you know, start doing some strength training, we have to honour the fact that our body may need a day or two to recover from that session before we go into it again. And they're the sort of things where, you know, starting with too much keenness without some focus and direction can actually get people into trouble, because by not allowing your body that recovery time, you know, we can get to the point where we either get injured or we really start to compromise our immune system because the body's trying so hard to make amends for it. And that's where, you know, having a more structured and a more sort of a bit more guidance can really help people. I will also mention at this point, though, that when we're talking about muscle, and I think you were hinting at it earlier in one of the things you said, is that, muscle, the fact that we associate, you know, muscle potentially with someone looking really bulky and potentially unfeminine for women. And the thing is, we don't really, just by doing strength training does not necessarily mean that we bulk up. You know, women don't bulk up anywhere near as easily as men do. You know, we would have to be doing some serious weights and possibly taking supplements if we wanted to look, muscular in a male sense. So, and that tends to put off women from actually doing resistance training. So it's just worth noting that just because we say that strength training is important doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to come out of this looking like the Hulk, and we don't really want to either.
No, that's right. So, Angela, before we move on to some of the other lifestyle factors, is there anything else in particular you wanted to talk about building muscle?
Look, I will say that the other thing too, when we talk about building muscle is often we associate it with just sitting in a, you know, being in a gym, sorry, not necessarily sitting, sorry, we could be standing, but working out with weights and a certain type of environment. And that's not necessarily the only way to build strength and muscle. You know, I'm a big fan of Pilates. And through Pilates, I mean, that is a form of resistance training. And as you actually progress in Pilates, you can actually start adding resistance through, you know, through reformer, you know, Pilates reformer sessions, through resistance bands, through other props and things as well as some free weights that we use in Pilates as well. But there are also other ways, Tai Chi. Also, it's such a controlled exercise that requires a lot of muscular endurance, and that actually helps to build muscle to an extent. Walking with a heavy pack, like you're currently doing it down in Tasmania, is also you know, another way of actually you know, encouraging the body to actually build muscle. Doing gardening, you know, where you're actually lifting, you know, bags of, you know, mulch and so on. That also is a form of strength training as well. So there's lots of different ways in which we can actually strength train the body. We did mention, though, that having some guidance in the beginning is really quite useful, because it does help you to overcome areas of weakness, whereas just doing a specific type of training, you know, if it is something that's more lifestyle centric, can actually potentially lead to injuries or imbalances. And that's where having, you know, something in a, you know, I guess a structured exercise program will actually benefit people, especially in the early stages.
Yeah. So I know ladies in my community, you know, spend some time swimming. So, and it's something that I would like to do more of, because I have at different times in my life. Swimming would be quite useful for our abdominal strength and upper body strength too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you look at professional swimmers, you know, they're very, you know, they're very fit, muscular looking, you know, athletes, you know, and that's testament to the fact that it is a sort of exercise where you've got that continuous, you know, it's really a continuous movement, which really helps to foster muscle building.
Yeah. Look, did you want to say more about exercise? Because I was going to move in.
No, actually, what I do want to do now, Sally-Anne, is talk a bit more about additional day-to-day movement and also structured exercise to actually burn more calories in general.
Okay, I'll give you a question to lead into that. So building muscle to help us with our metabolic rate doesn't necessarily require gym sessions, what you were saying. We can do a lot in our day-to-day activity as well.
Yes, and now we're talking a lot more about what things we're doing to actually burn calories on a day-to-day basis without talking about, say, structured exercise, where we actually go out there and we exercise for an hour doing different types of exercise. We're talking about more much about our day-to-day movements, you know, how much walking you get done in on a day-to-day basis. You know, how many steps are you getting in your day? How much time are you spending sitting down at a chair, you know, rather than being up on your feet? You know, someone who's more active in the day-to-day movement is actually going to be burning a lot more calories, which therefore means that it's increasing your metabolic rate. Okay. So that's quite an important part of it. And that's where a lot of people, especially women, once we get to midlife, either it's because of work, we tend to be more, you know, often in more senior positions, so we're sitting down a lot more, or we just are so stressed that we need to, you know, we tend to sit down a lot more to relax at the expense of actually moving. That in itself can actually help, you know, to slow down a metabolism. So trying to be a bit more active on a day-to-day basis is really quite important for us.
Yeah, so just to clarify, the boosting of our metabolic rate through gaining muscle has a positive impact even when we're resting, whereas the day-to-day movement, such as the steps and that sort of thing, is just helping burn more calories. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that, therefore, say in a week where you're actually, you know, walking more steps, you'll be burning more calories than in a week when you're, you know, you're stuck sitting at a desk for, you know, maybe for work through no fault of your own. So that's the incremental calories that you'd be burning, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Yes.
Yep. So we definitely need both types of activity.
Absolutely. And that's why we always come, we talk a lot about coming back to strength training, because that helps us to burn calories even when we're sleeping, because our body, you know, has to keep those muscles, doesn't it? It has to keep feeding those muscles even in our sleeping state. Whereas when we're actually out and about, the more we can move, the more calories we're going to burn just on our day-to-day activities. And then on top of that, we have other exercise that we may be doing, whether it's us going for a walk or a run or playing tennis, doing other activities which are a bit more structured, which we do on purpose because we want to actually even burn more calories.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, and we have talked about this before, but it's just as a reminder that the purpose of building muscle is not just for our metabolic rate. It helps with our bone strength. It helps with our balance and our fitness, you know. So it's not just about metabolic rate, even obviously that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's many benefits to having, muscle in our body. The more muscle we have, the stronger our bones are, because that helps to improve our bone density. And that's why strength training is so important for people at risk of osteopenia or osteoporosis. It helps with our posture, you know, so that we're actually a bit more upright. We're less likely to start slouching forward or picking up, or starting to sort of alter the way that we move because we're not really supporting our joints well.
No, that's right. And I think too, and we'll talk a little bit about this, is that exercise is really important for our stress management. And we know that our metabolic rate and potentially what we choose to eat is impacted by hormonal imbalance as well. So it all starts tying in together, because managing our stress, through meditation, deep breathing, yoga, Pilates, spending time in nature, is really important as well.
That's right. And we have to, like you always come back to the mindfulness. And I think that's very important here too, because there are times when, you know, we don't feel like we need to be too active, because we're trying to, balance hormones. We need to de-stress. And sometimes that needs us to slow down, in general. And we have to really honor our body to asking us to do that when the time, when there's a need for it. But having said that, we also want to have the type of lifestyle or move towards a type of lifestyle where we do incorporate strength training in there. We do have other movement. We make sure that we're trying to be as active as we can on a day-to-day basis as well. So that has, a lot of benefits, obviously, for increasing our metabolism. And because of that, we then have our body, are feeling stronger. It's also going to be healthier in many other ways. We're getting more blood pumping through our body as well, which means that we're actually feeding every cell and trying to keep it as healthy as possible in our body.
Yeah, and I think something that's overlooked, and it came up a lot on recent, public events that I've been talking at, is sleep. And it's kind of like we're talking about the opposites here, moving, and then of course we need to rest. But if you're not getting, a quality 7 to 9 hours sleep, then that's going to be having an impact on your hormones. It's going to be having an impact on your metabolic rate. It's going to have an impact on your mood. It has an impact on so many things. And I find that it's an area of medicine and well-being that we still need to invest so much more research and support into, because a lot of women that I speak with do have sleep issues. And I really just want to raise that, talk to your doctor about it, and research it yourself, because your GP may not have the resources or the people to, refer on to. So sleep is so important as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah. And interestingly, from a food point of view, and this is where a lot of myths come into boosting your metabolism, whether it's about eating lots of protein food, drinking green tea, eating highly spiced food or peppery foods. Some of these things might boost your metabolic rate, but there's some really simple things that help get a sluggish metabolism going. And one of the most simplest, and it is certainly such a big part of the mindfulness approach, is eating when you're hungry and stopping before you're full. And even though for other reasons there's a whole push for intermittent fasting, I'm all for fasting overnight, but it's an individual fasting period, not when someone says to you, you have to start fasting at 6 p.m. and you can't eat till midday the next day or 10 a.m. the next day. That's not tuning into your own body and what you need to do. So some problems with metabolic rate can actually happen because we skip meals or we restrict food when we're actually hungry and go on crash diets. So the opposite to that is really tuning into your natural hunger and satiety rhythms. And certainly, you know, starting, you know, a general guide is starting, you know, say with 3 meals a day and stopping eating before 7 o'clock at night.
I think that's very sound advice. You really want to work with your, you know, your body and really paying attention to how your body is converting food to energy. We need to have a healthy metabolism to actually have high energy levels as well, and how we feed our body is a very important part of that as well.
Yeah. So, Angela, is there anything else that you would like to share? I know you have some great resources on your website in terms of your online Pilates program.
Oh, yeah, sure. I will mention the online Pilates program. It is an online membership, which is called Fit and Fabulous Online. It's very Pilates-centric, which is a very good foundation for starting to build strength. And because it's all, most of it is very much just using your own body for resistance as well, and then adding some props as well. And I do think it's a really nice starting point for creating good movement patterns, getting a good strong core, which you can then use to build on to, you know, improve, you know, add more strength training down the track as a basis for it. If you go to my website, which is www.fitandfabulous.com.au, and just follow the links for the online membership or Fit and Fabulous Online. You get your first 7 days free as well, so you at least get to try it before you're actually asked to pay. And yeah, definitely recommend that. It's very much geared towards women going through perimenopause, menopause, and beyond as well. So it's all very much, most of it's down on the floor on the yoga mat. And yeah, it's a really good way of actually improving posture, flexibility, balance, and strength.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Angela. And if you've been listening and thinking, yep, I'd like a little bit of support to find my natural, healthy way of eating that's going to support my metabolism, but my overall health, then please book in for a free 15-minute call, and I will provide the link to Angela's website, but also my booking calendar with this episode's notes. So thanks again for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to share it on your social media pages. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week.
You have been listening to the Eating For You podcast with Sally-Ann Pisk. If your current way of eating is not working for you, then join me in a free 15-minute mindful eating discovery call. If I can help you, I will provide you with a personalized tip to get you started with a way of eating that will bring lasting results for your weight and your health. And if I'm not the best person to help you, I will do my best to refer you on. The booking link is included with this episode's notes.